You know, I used to do these shows 7 days a week, actually. I once worked here for about 8 months straight with a guy named Matt Lombardo. A better time was never to be had again. Matt Lombardo and I used to sit here from 10 to midnight and just get it done. Had a great time with the listeners and social media and had a ball. And he's back on the Comcast Business Hotline right now. He has moved on to bigger and better things. He's with NJ.com, covers the Giants, does a bang-up job. Matthew, how are you, my friend?
Kind of a rainy day for a sunscreen, wouldn't you say, Joe?
Yeah, right? What's up with that? You can't keep the tan working in this kind of weather. It's no good. This is not good.
No bueno at all. What's going on?
Hey, welcome back, brother. Missed you. You do a great job for NJ.com. And want to talk a little Giants. Daniel Jones, I know it's preseason, but he was dynamite. 29 of 34 for, I think, 416 yards. He looked very comfortable. Ball comes out of his hand very nicely. Eli, it's probably his last season. I don't know how they're going to do it gracefully if they're going to make a transition this year. But how long until Daniel Jones seen some real playing time?
Yeah, Joe, you look at the preseason, and everybody's going to say it's just preseason, and that's accurate. But you look at Daniel Jones through the four preseason games, he had the highest passer rating of any quarterback in the NFL, and the Giants led the NFL in total offense during the four preseason games. And like you said, he gets rid of the football quickly and accurately, and I think what really jumped out and impressed me the most was how often he's able to fit the ball into tight windows, whether it's, you know, long passes into the end zone for touchdowns or beating Golden Tate down the sideline and putting the ball where only he can get it. Those are the type of throws that not every quarterback in the NFL can make, and I don't think that Eli Manning at this stage of his career can make those type of throws as often as Jones showed the ability to do. It's a whole different question entirely in terms of how are the Giants going to handle passing the torch from Manning to Jones. I firmly believe he'll play sooner than a lot of people anticipate him playing. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that if the Giants are 0-2 and the offense is struggling to move the football against the Cowboys and the Buffalo Bills, that we could see Daniel Jones as early as week three in Tampa Bay. And if it's not then, I think the perfect landing spot is against the Arizona Cardinals in week seven, 10 days after a Thursday night game in Foxborough against the Patriots. Those, to me, are the two most likely chances that we see Jones play. But the Giants are going to stick with Manning as long as he's moving the football, as long as the Giants are in the playoff hunt. And with this roster, that seems like it could end sooner rather than later.
Well, let me ask you something, Matty. Why isn't Daniel Jones, he's the quarterback of their future, and Eli has been in the league for like 35 years. Why isn't he getting the starting nod from the beginning?
Yeah, Joe, I think there's a couple differences of opinion here. My belief is that owner John Mara in the Giants organization is at least partially concerned with orchestrating a graceful departure for Eli Manning rather than winning football games. And there's also a school of thought that ownership believes that Eli Manning still gives them the best chance to win football games rather than Daniel Jones. So I think those are the two thought processes here. And I think that head coach Pat Shurmur, eventually wins and losses are going to need to start mattering to him. And at some point, if his record as a head coach continues to get tarnished, that's when I think they'll go to Jones. But I think this is all about the Giants, A, believing that Eli Manning still gives them the best chance to win, which could be a full-hearted thought process, or they're trying to orchestrate a fitting departure for a two-time Super Bowl champion who's held in high regard within this building.
They got rid of a lot of their defensive stars last year: Olivier Vernon, Snacks Harrison, Eli Apple, Landon Collins. So they kind of stripped down the defense. How long does Pat Shurmur have to turn this thing around?
Yeah, I think, Joe, that he'll have at least one season working with Daniel Jones as the starting quarterback. He was hired here after being the offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings to groom the successor of Eli Manning. So if Jones plays for an extended amount of time this year, then I think that there's a chance that Shurmur extends his time as head coach. But I don't think that he's on the hot seat until Daniel Jones plays. And then it comes down to how well does Jones play, how good does he look, and how well are the Giants playing with Shurmur at that point.
Matt Lombardo on the Comcast Business Hotline. Odell Beckham Jr. is now with the Browns, buddy. Sterling Shepard was injured. First, I want an update on his health. And who else are they going to throw to? Golden Tate has that suspension. What are they doing offensively outside of Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, Joe, it's the Saquon Barkley show. He's going to be a focal point of the offense, both as a receiver and a runner, and it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that he could go for 1,000 rushing yards yards and 1,000 receiving yards. The first running back in quite some time to have that type of season, but that's the type of role that the Giants are going to carve out for him. Evan Engram, the Giants are hoping to take a big step forward in the third year of his career. If he can stay healthy, they think that he can be one of the top tight ends in the league. And then at wide receiver, Sterling Shepard is fully healthy. He'll start week one. But in the meantime, until Golden Tate comes off of the four-game suspension for violating the PED policy, they're looking at veteran journeymen like Cody Latimer, a former special teamer from the Denver Broncos. Benny Fowler, same story, veteran, former Denver Bronco, primarily a special teamer. And they're banking on Darius Slayton, their fifth-round rookie, being the deep threat. He has plenty of speed, ran a 3.35 at the 40, in the 40 at the NFL Combine, but he has a hamstring and it's been limited throughout training camp in the preseason. So in Beckham's absence, they're going to look at Sterling Shepard, they're going to look at Cody Latimer, they're going to look at Benny Fowler and Russell Shepard as their top four receiving options. But this passing offense, much like the running game, is going to funnel through Saquon Barkley and a lot of Evan Engram as well.
What was the real reason they got rid of Odell Beckham Jr., bro?
What was that?
What was the real reason behind them trading Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yeah, I think it came down to ownership and general manager Dave Gettleman and head coach Pat Shurmur tired of his act. They were tired of the distractions. And the interview with ESPN with Lil Wayne sitting there where he wouldn't even say that he's happy in New York just a couple of months after signing a $95 million extension. I think that played a role, and I think that you look at the offense, they believe that they can get the same production, spreading the football around, working the underneath, but they didn't need that deep threat. I don't know how that's going to work out for them, and I think that it changes the way defenses are going to be able to play Saquon Barkley and Engram when you don't have that legitimate deep threat that you have to respect. I think that they valued culture over production, and we'll see if that strategy winds up working.
How are the fans feeling about the G-man nowadays? You know, Daniel Jones, that whole thing where Gettleman took him at number six and it wasn't received real well. I mentioned the defense that they stripped down, Olivier Vernon, Snacks Harrison, Eli Apple, Landon Collins. They got rid of Odell Beckham Jr. How's the fan base taking all this?
Yeah, Joe, I think that the fan base understands that this year is going to be a rebuilding year of sorts, but I think that they've really come around on Daniel Jones and what they saw from him during the preseason. There's still a lot of loyalty to Eli Manning, and I think this fan base has bought into the idea that Manning should be the starting quarterback for the entire year and Daniel Jones should sit by and learn. But I think once Jones gets on the field, that's going to turn a lot of heads in this fan base.
Why did they, and I mentioned it twice already, they stripped down their defense. Some good players there they let go. Why did they do that?
I think it came down to them trying to change the culture. Landon Collins got paid in Washington. I don't think the Giants were ever in that ballpark in terms of his record-breaking contract. They didn't view Olivier Vernon as a culture fit, and he was banged up the last couple of years. And they wanted to get younger. They're going to lean heavily on outside linebacker Lorenzo Carter in his second year. Rookie O'Shane Zimenez, a third-round pick. They're going to lean on him pretty heavily. And they have high hopes for Jabril Peppers, the safety that they acquired from the Browns in the Beckham trade. So I think that they're looking to get younger, and they wanted to change the culture of the defense. Again, I don't think they have the talent up the middle to stop some of the top running backs in the division, let alone the league. And their inside linebackers are far from good in coverage. Alan Ogletree, their starting inside backer, was one of the worst cover linebackers in the league. So you look at the changes that they made, and I think that this team is going to be able to score some points on offense, but defensively, they're going to have to win games 37-31 because they just can't get off the field.
Matt Lombardo on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right, Matt, before I let you go, I need a prediction. What do the Giants do this year? What's their record?
Yeah, I have them at 6-10, Joe, and I think that the only reason they approach six wins is because I anticipate them going to Daniel Jones sooner rather than later, and I think that Jones gives them the best chance to win. But there are just too many holes and too many question marks on defense, and there are too many unknowns out of Beckham other than Barkley and Engram on offense.
What do you think about the Eagles this year?
I think they have the most complete roster in the NFL, and I think that if you asked me to make a Super Bowl prediction today, I would say Chiefs over Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Wow. Going Chiefs, huh? They'll straighten out that defense enough to compete?
Well, Patrick Mahomes is going to get another level better, and they brought in LeSean McCoy to solidify their running game. I think that they're going to be able to get past New England in the playoffs. That's going to be the biggest monkey they have to get off their back.
Hey, great stuff, Matt. You can read Matt Lombardo's coverage of the New York Giants on NJ.com. Appreciate you coming on. Miss you, brother. I'll read your stuff as we go forward, and good luck this year.
Thanks, my man.
You got it. Matt Lombardo on the Comcast Business Hotline. Had a blast when he was here. That's good stuff. That's a lot of good knowledge.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.